Okay, it's May the 7th, 2008, and this is Matthew Richardson of the Manx Museum talking to Colin Brown in particular about his memories in relation to Radio Caroline. Colin, can you tell me first of all a little bit about your background, when and where you were born?
I was born in Ramsey, I went to Albert Road Primary School and then Ramsey Grammar School, and I left Ramsey Grammar School circa 1963 to join the then Ramsey Courier as a junior reporter.
So that your first job out of school was directly as an apprentice?
That's right.
Reporter kind of thing. Yeah. Okay, so what sort of, just give me a little bit of information about what that involved as a trainee reporter, what sort of jobs you were getting?
Well, as a trainee reporter you'd be doing everything really. You, I suppose, cut your teeth on flower shows and stuff like that. You go around and you'd report hundreds and hundreds of classes of the various flower shows, and as you got a little bit more experience you'd do courts. Courts were a rich vein of material for journalists. Commissioners' meetings, I used to go to all the commissioners' meetings in the north of the island, Ramsey, Laxey, and occasionally, even as a very young reporter, I'd go to the House of Keys, but generally it was local politics commissioners and any other kind of political meetings.
Can you tell me also a little bit about the Ramsey Courier as it was then? Because I believe I'm right in saying it was still an independent newspaper.
It was,
in those
yes.
days. Could you just tell me a bit more about
it? Yes, it had a very, very small staff. When I joined, the editor was a gentleman called Sidney Bolton, who will be well known to people in the north of the island. And at the time, apart from him, I was the only other reporter. So you tended to do pretty much everything. And then I think probably a year or two down the line, we were joined by Alan Bell, who later became a colleague of mine at Manx Radio. So in effect, there were three of us. So it was hard work covering all the island with just, well, an editor, a senior reporter, and a very green junior reporter. But it was good fun. It was good training because you were doing more things in a small weekly paper than you would have been on probably a big daily at that time.
Okay, so let's move on a bit to Radio Caroline. Now, Radio Caroline appeared off the Isle of Man in 1964. I think it was shortly after Easter. Of 1964. Can you tell me first of all how you got wind that the ship was on its way?
I can't really remember how we got wind that the ship was on its way, but shortly after it docked and started broadcasting from Ramsey Bay and giving wonderful publicity to the Isle of Man, we heard that the first contact, I suppose, with Radio Caroline was, I think, their advertising manager, a gentleman called George Hare, or George O'Hare from memory. And it was quite funny really, because we heard that he was coming over to set various wheels in motion, and we heard from a local taxi firm that they were going to pick him up at the airport, and I canceled a lift with this taxi driver to the airport, and on the way back from the airport actually interviewed Mr. Hare on his plans for Radio Caroline. So it was quite a bizarre thing, really, interviewing. So he was in the front seat of the taxi, I was in the back, and I was shouting questions at him from the back of the taxi. So that was my first contact with Radio Caroline.
Yeah.
And shortly afterwards, I more or less gate-crashed a meeting with Ronan O'Reilly, who was the boss of Caroline. We heard that he was having a meeting with some of his colleagues in the Mitre Hotel in Ramsey, and I wandered down and asked would he be prepared to talk to the press, and he looked a little bit askance at first. There was this young lad, but he was very, very friendly, very helpful. He told me everything I needed to know, and then at some stage after that, it was arranged that I could actually go out on board Caroline. So myself and a photographer called Malcolm Hignett, who worked for the Courier at the time. And to get to Radio Caroline, we had to go out on the tender ship, which I think was owned by Ramsey Steamship Company, and the tender brought supplies out to Caroline. And you couldn't actually go from the tender ship onto Caroline. What you had to do, when the tender ship got to a certain height, level with Caroline, you jumped, literally. So if you weren't too athletic and you happened to fall in the sea, it could have been quite nasty. But we got aboard, and I think the first person we met was one of the first was Tom Lodge, who I think was the program director.
And what do you remember about him?
I remember he was very tall. He was a Canadian, I think. I'd already listened to Radio Caroline because I knew about Tom Lodge and one or two of the names. But it was quite funny because I did the story, and when I got back to the office, I said I'd met Tom Lodge, and I was only a 17-year-old reporter, and one or two other people said, no, his name's not Tom Lodge, it's Tom Lodge. So they changed my copy and persuaded me to change my copy to Tom Lodge, which was quite bizarre because it appeared in the Courier as Tom Lodge, and I knew full well his name was Tom Lodge.
That's probably because of the way he's pronounced it.
Yes, that's possible.
Yes. Interesting. So, and what sort of things did you chat to him about? You remember?
I really can't remember. I remember asking him, was he ever seasick? Mm. And he said, no, he never was. But one thing I do remember, when we went on board, I think it was Tom, he said, well, what record would you like to play for you and the photographer? And I said, oh, whatever's next on the turntable. So it happened to be The Animals, Land of the Rising Sun, which at the time I think was the longest single ever made. So whenever I hear that record now, and it's still played quite frequently, I always think of my time on Caroline.
So what were your impressions of the boat when you went on? Did it appear kind of shabby, or was it well appointed? Or
I really don't have any memories of the boat as such. They showed me around, but as a non-seafaring person, and they tried to explain to me all the technicalities of it, but as a non-seafaring person, it didn't really make a lot of impression on me. I know it was a converted Baltic Sea ferry called Frederica from memory, but I couldn't honestly say what it was like. Mm.
You don't recall if it appeared particularly cramped or...
I'm sure it was quite cramped, and I suppose in those days the technical side would have been fairly basic. Yeah. But they were all at home, and so that was my first experience of Radio Caroline, and there were many stories over the next 3 or 4 years. Like I think one of the DJs, Mick Loves It, got married on board.
That's right, yes.
And that
yes.
brought all the national photographers yeah. and reporters yeah. over.
Yes. So but that first visit then, it was just Tom Lodge that you met? There were
No, I met pretty much everybody yeah. on board. The captain, a few of the others, but he was the one I spoke to mainly, and he was the yeah. one I remember.
Yeah. Yes. Excellent. Any other recollections or things that stick in your mind relating to the ship?
Well, from time to time, as it became established, quite a lot of pop stars of the day mm. went on board. Mm. And I remember one particularly, Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits. As a young lad, I used to go for a coke after a cricket match in the Plough Hotel in Ramsey. And I got a phone call one day from somebody in the Plough to say, if you want to get yourself down here, Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits is in the bar. So first reaction was to say, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But I went down, and he was there, sure enough. And he was apparently a great darts enthusiast. And I said to him, do you fancy just answering one or two questions for the press? And he said, on condition we have a game of darts first. Mm. Probably in my life I'd played about 3 games of darts, and he was obviously a real expert at it. And we must have played 5 or 6 games of darts before he would finally agree to talk to me.
I've heard it said that it was the Commercial Hotel in Ramsey.
That was one of the...
There's their sort of shore base.
Yes, that's right.
And yeah. quite a lot of the pop stars of the day would pass through there.
Yes, if you went down to the Commercial, you would normally find somebody from Caroline or pop stars of the day
yes.
there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And I think there's a story that one of the Caroline crew or one of the officials went into the Commercial one day and said they were looking for A, B and C to do such and such a job, and 2 or 3 people immediately jumped up, ditched their show jobs and went to work for Caroline. That's the story anyway.
One of those is Nod Turner.
Nod Turner.
That works yes. for, or runs rather, Energy FM, I think. Yeah. Yes.
Very yes, interesting. I think Nod was one of the ones who took advantage of it. Mm. And mm. I think either just before that or just afterwards, he was the road manager for a pop group called the Rockin' Vickers,
right.
who were quite a controversial group.
Yes.
So that was either just before or just after yes. the Caroline situation.
What was the general perception in Ramsey of Radio Caroline? I mean, were people in Ramsey very pro, or did they resent the intrusion? How did people feel about it?
Oh no, they were all in favour of Caroline. You know, the publicity that they were giving the Isle of Man, and in particular Ramsay, was tremendous. They would start broadcasting, saying it's a lovely day here in the Isle of Man. We're broadcasting 4 miles off Ramsay. Yeah, it was great publicity for Ramsay.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think it'd be hard pressed to find too many people who were opposed to Caroline. And of course, in those days, Manx radio, although it existed, it had a very low powered frequency, so most of the north of the island couldn't get Manx radio anyway.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so Caroline was something really big in those days.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have you any recollections of either the protests when the British government tried to ban offshore radio, or this when the DJs when this bill actually went through and the DJs came off? Have you any recollection of either of those two?
Not really. I remember the debates taking place in the Manx Parliament, of course, and the Manx government stuck out as long as it could, and I think it got quite a few concessions in other areas. But in the end, I think they made it illegal to supply Caroline, and the argument of the Manx government was that they were a separate jurisdiction in the UK, had no authority over the Isle of Man. But in the end, I think they applied those regulations to the Isle of Man by order of council. Mm. So that was the end of it. It was a sad day, I think, for Ramsay and for all of us, really.
Do you actually remember, though, when the DJs came off? Because there was quite a big sort of stir on Ramsay Pier. I've seen some of the photographs. So you weren't
no, there, I don't remember the time. No. I think I was off the island when it all happened.
This would have been September 67. Mm. I think it would have been.
Yeah, no, yeah, I don't remember it at all.
Okay. Well, that's very, very interesting.
Okay. And
thank you very much for your time.
Nice talk. The kind of stuff you want?